Today's reading is from Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 41. And this is Peter speaking. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Isn't it great that we can hear the Bible read from the start of the church, from Acts chapter 2, where we hear of the Spirit coming, that the disciples who had been waiting in the upper room, who had actually been enclosed for a while, a few weeks before, they were hidden in rooms, not because of coronavirus like some of us had been for a while, but because they were afraid of ending up like Jesus. But after his resurrection, they started to have boldness, but they were told to wait in the city until they got power from on high. And this story that we heard today from the book of Acts is exactly that story, where power from on high came via the Holy Spirit into the hearts of the disciples. And then with boldness, they went about proclaiming. And they weren't proclaiming their own things. They were proclaiming things about Jesus that they heard, that they could see from the Old Testament scriptures, and talking about his power. And they went about it with conviction. Already we've heard some of these things, that the people on the Emmaus Road ran back to the other disciples to say they'd heard that the scriptures had been fulfilled by Jesus of Nazareth. And so we had Bertram talk about the Good Shepherd. We heard Rob talking about the suffering servant type figure from Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. And then Karen, last week, she brought us a sermon that focuses on Jesus being both king and high priest. Well, today, in wrapping up this series, it's very fitting that we have the book of Acts and chapter 2 in particular. You would have noticed, I hope, at the second part of the Bible reading that Denise read out for us, that there were many Old Testament scriptures, some of which we actually covered in this last season, or this last series. It's amazing, this New Testament passage of Acts. On the road to Emmaus, though, we hear these disciples who were getting their mind stretched by Jesus, pointing back to these scriptures and showing them, here is Jesus back in the Old Testament. And we heard as well that their hearts burned within them as they heard Jesus preach along the road and teach to them. And it's with this heart and mind that I want to talk about today. Because in the Spirit coming, this is one of the things that's transformed. It's not just head knowledge, but it's heart. There's transformation inside. We're told that the Spirit coming transforms the heart, and that we would be given a new heart, no longer a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, that a new creation would come. The old is gone and the new has come. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that we will not only know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that in our head we'll have confidence that Jesus fulfills, but also by his Spirit he will transform our hearts and he will impress it on us, on the truth of these things. A heart changes the world. If we ever want a country to change, it won't change by laws. It will change by hearts being turned to wanting what is good. And this is what Jesus does. As his Spirit works, as the New Testament church preaches Jesus, as there's transformation of one life, heart and mind, so too the world changes. When I was a young'un, I'd heard the stories about Jesus, and as a teenager I started to slowly walk away because the stories told me I knew of a God that was in the clouds, but not one that was alive in here. However, as I was taught about the Spirit, and as I knew that the Holy Spirit had been working in other people's lives, and I asked God to be working in me, the Holy Spirit did an amazing transformation in my heart and mind. And the stories that I knew about Jesus came alive. The life that Jesus had won on the cross suddenly made a whole lot of sense, and it started to change not just what I thought, but what I felt about myself and God, and it also changed what I wanted to do. No longer did I want to be the kid who was swearing, because I didn't need to, because I actually knew that I was loved by God and cared for by him. So my heart and mind were changed. My mind knew about Jesus, but then my heart became convinced of the truth of it. This last week, one of my favourite Christian preachers actually died. Ravi Zacharias was his name. And one of the things that he used to talk about is engaging the heart and the mind. And not just the mind, but also a heart. Connecting the two. I remember full well in engaging the mind, he said that as a Christian, in fact every person, we need to answer these four things for our worldview to be coherent. We need to answer questions of origin, meaning, morality and destiny. That these are questions that Ravi Zacharias, as a Christian apologist, went about defending, explaining the Christian faith to others, that the worldview that is brought about through a theistic framework and through Jesus of Nazareth is one that we can stand on. And so this week, I in a way lamented that my favourite teacher, the one who has probably influenced me the most in my Christian learning, had died. And yet, there was actually this remarkable hope. You see, when we die in Christ, we're not dead. Because as we're about to hear from the book of Acts, that King Jesus, the one who was dead, is alive. And he's the one who is going to transform the world. He's the one who's going to judge the living and the dead. And so those who die in Christ have life. I'd like to continue now with a quote from an author called Craig Evans. And in fact, I've been listening to him walking around the streets of Bendigo late at night over the last few months. And this guy, Craig Evans, he said that the Old Testament is the scripture of the early church. The New Testament is its interpretation, as well as its proclamation of Jesus' kingdom. To ignore the Old Testament is to throw away the backdrop and presuppositions of the very foundation of the New Testament itself. And so, as over these last few weeks, we have been thinking about some of those scriptures that come alive after Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus told the disciples. So Craig Evans would say to us, we can't throw out the Old Testament. In fact, we need to dig into it more, because it's the foundation of the church. It's the bedrock where we learn about Jesus. It is the context that we understand Jesus and fills out all he is. And so we have in the book of Acts the disciples in the room when suddenly the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Such an amazing idea. This wind blowing through the house. I had wind blowing through my house the other day. I was sitting in one part of my house. And I'm like, why is it so cold? And I'm going around the house. Why is it so cold? And it turns out one of the children had left a window open in my study. And so this wind was bellowing in. But here with the doors locked in the early church, this rushing wind came through. And I hope that this idea of a rushing wind echoes for you. The wind that was brooding over the waters right back in Genesis 1, where the Spirit of God was about to do something new and create again. And so here in the birth of the church, we actually have God's Holy Spirit rushing wind over the people. And so a new creation comes, a new church, but also new creation in each of these disciples where God's Spirit is within and empowers them for a new life. But here, the Spirit then takes the people out into the crowd, and these disciples start to speak in other languages, in other tongues, which is great as well, because those who were visiting Jerusalem from all over the place, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, etc., 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 people from right across the known world heard the good news about Jesus in their own tongue, which is great. It symbolizes that the gospel isn't just for the Jewish people, but rather now a new day is dawned where this message of King Jesus from the Old Testament, well, who fulfilled the Old Testament, who comes out of the Old Testament, this King Jesus who was dead, is now alive, his message is for the whole world. What a remarkable thing that the church was starting to move into. They didn't fully understand it, but that's what was being hinted at here, that this message is for everyone. And there we have Peter standing up with the 11 and addressed the crowd. And then he says, well, look, we're not drunk. They were being quite silly. Well, it seems silly, talking in different languages. But we're not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. But if it had been 2, they may have been drunk. Is that what Peter was saying? No. We're not drunk, as you suppose. But rather, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. What was spoken of by the prophet Joel has happened now. That God's Spirit would be poured out on all people. Do you hear that again? The Spirit on all people. It's not just for the Jewish people, but for all these people from other nations that were there. It's for everyone. And God would empower people with prophecy and visions and dreams, that it would be for men and women that he will pour out his Spirit. And in the end of this passage from Joel, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, this message is for all. And that's what the Spirit was starting to empower the church to get them ready to proclaim the good news and fulfill that commission that the end of Matthew that Jesus gave the church to go and preach the gospel. Well, now the Spirit was empowering to them to be able to do it. And we see Peter, he starts off with the first sermon and he goes through some of those Old Testament passages that we've already spoken about. About David said, I saw the Lord before me because he is at my right hand, and I won't abandon the Holy One to the grave. That's in verse 27. And then Peter keeps on going on, and one of these other passages we had from the Old Testament, from Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Verse 36, Peter says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Remember earlier I said about heart and mind, that my heart and mind were convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead, that that's what was happening to the disciples on the way to Emmaus. And here the people, in verse 37, we read that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart because they'd heard this stuff with their mind, but it also transformed their heart. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for all your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Well, I pray today, every one of you who hears this, that both your heart and your mind will be engaged to the truth of this message, that you will, as this says, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved, that your sins will be forgiven as you repent, that the promise is for you, and that the gift of the Holy Spirit today will empower you afresh. I pray that the Spirit's work will go deep, that its fruit in your life will be abundant. And I pray today that His power and joy will overflow in your life. In Jesus' name, the mighty King, we pray. Amen.